Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
Please have your songbooks in hand this evening. For starters, let's turn to song number 160. That song title is Glory to His Name. Song number 160, Glory to His Name, will be our first song selection this evening. Down at the cross where my Savior died, down where for cleansing from sin I cried, there to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name. I am so wondrously saved from sin. Jesus so sweetly abides within. There at the cross where He took me in. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name. O precious fountain that saves from sin, I am so glad I have entered in. There Jesus saves me and keeps me clean. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name. The song that we'll sing before opening prayer this evening, 720. Watch and Pray. Song number 720, that's our next selection and the song that we will sing prior to our prayer this evening. Watch and pray, for the Lord is coming, coming in the clouds someday. Wash your robes in the cleansing fountain. Wash, oh, watch and pray. Watch and pray, oh, watch and pray. For we know not the hour when the Lord shall come. Watch and pray, watch and pray, and be ready to enter the soul's bright home. He may come in the early morning, He may come at close of day. Watch and pray in His promise, trusting. Watch, oh, watch and pray. Watch and pray, oh, watch and pray. For we know not the hour when the Lord shall come. Watch and pray, oh, watch and pray. And be ready to enter the soul's bright home. Soul, give heed to the Savior's warning, and His blessed word obey. Be prepared when He comes to meet Him. Watch, oh, watch and pray. Watch and pray, oh, watch and pray. For we know not the hour when the Lord shall come. Watch and pray, oh, watch and pray. When we know to enter the soul's bright home. When He comes, He'll reward the faithful. What a glorious day 'twill be. Joy awaits those who have made ready. Watch, O watch and pray. Watch and pray. O watch and pray. For we know not the hour when the Lord shall come. Watch and pray. O watch and pray. And be ready to enter the soul's bright home.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for another opportunity to come here and study your word, and listen to a sermon. And we pray that Doug's sermon tonight will have stuff in it that we can apply to our daily lives and make us better Christians as we go out into the world. Father, be with this congregation as we're doing things and trying to grow, that you'll keep us moving forward and, as the word says, always abounding. And just keep working and striving. We know that if we do those things and we do it with the right mindset and the right type heart, that good things will come. Father, be with the sick that's been mentioned here today, but especially be with Kay and her family as they're going through a trying time. And Father, we just pray that you'll be easy on her, that she won't have to suffer. She's asked for that. She's been a faithful servant. Father, we just pray for the family afterwards and that we'll be able to find a way that the grandsons can still come here and attend. We all here love them, and we know that they love being here. And we just pray that you'll open a path that can be a thing. Father, be with us as we study your word, that it'll sink in and get into our hearts, and that someone here may be touched, Father. These things we ask for in your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Our next song selection this evening is number 299. That title is I Stand Amazed. Song number 299, I Stand Amazed. I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene, and wonder how he could love me, a sinner condemned unclean. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. For me it was in the garden, he prayed not my will but thine. He had no tears for his own griefs, but sweat drops of blood for mine. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. In pity, angels beheld him and came from the world of light to comfort him in the sorrows he bore for my soul and I. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. He took my sins and my sorrows, he made them his very own. He bore the burden to Calvary and suffered and died alone. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. When with the ransomed in glory his face I at last shall see, 'twill be my joy through the ages to sing of his love for me. How marvelous, how wonderful, and song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me.
If you would at this time mark our song of encouragement, that selection that we'll sing after our lesson this evening is 347. That song titled, Jesus is Calling. 347, that's an encouragement hymn for after our lesson this evening. Once you have that hymn marked, you may next turn with me to song number 788. Wonderful Words of Life. Song number 788. That we'll sing that song and then we'll share together tonight's lesson.
Sing them over again to me, wonderful words of life. Let me more of their beauty see, wonderful words of life. Words of life and beauty, teach me faith and duty. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Christ, the Blessed One, gives to all wonderful words of life. Sinnerless to the loving call, wonderful words of life. All so freely given, wooing us to heaven. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Sweetly echo the gospel call, wonderful words of life. Offer pardon and peace to all, wonderful words of life. Jesus, only Savior, sanctify forever. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life.
Jamie, I appreciate your prayer this evening, and want to say that, you know, you prayed that lesson would bless you and help us learn something. Well, I hope that's what this morning was about. This evening I want to have my lesson. Hopefully it'll be something you can learn also. But hopefully it would encourage you and strengthen your faith as we look at what God's plan was with Jesus. Jesus with God, his plan. Jesus was with God and a part of God from the beginning. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. The Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him. And without him, nothing was made that has been made. So just think about that. There's so much here in just these verses. In the beginning was the Word. You drop down to verse 14, which we're not going to right now. But it says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among men. But in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was what? God. And the Word was God. So Jesus was with God. He was God. And he was in the beginning with God. Beginning of what? Before time began, right? When before time began, before the earth was, before anything was created, Jesus and God and the Spirit existed together. They have always been, the Bible says, and they always will be. And so we have, this is what we find here. All things were made through him. Through who? The Word. Who was the Word? Jesus. And without him, nothing was made. Nothing was made that has been made. So you go to Genesis, and we're not going to turn there, but you can if you want. Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. Remember, it said, and God said, right? God said, let there be light. God said, it says it over and over again. And it says that the Spirit of God moved over the face of the deep. So we have God, the Father, God, the Word, God, the Son of the words, and God, the Spirit of God. They were all there together. And then in verse 26, and it says, and they said, let us make man in our image. So they have always been there. They have always been in existence. They are part of creation. And we can recognize and see that Jesus was God and was with God. Then in Exodus chapter 3 and verse 14, Jesus said, and God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent me to you. So what was the name of God? Moses said, who shall I say sent me? God says, I am. I am the one. I am. That's my name. And then in John chapter 8 and verse 58, remember what Jesus said? He said to them, most assuredly I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. Who came first, Moses or Abraham? Abraham, right? And yet, Jesus is saying, before Abraham was born, I am. Before he was, I am. And you know what the people knew what he was talking about? Because the Bible says that they picked up stones and wanted to stone him to death because he was claiming to be God. Jesus was claiming to be God when he said, I am, right? And this came a long time before God said this to Moses. So Jesus Christ was the great I am before the creation of the world. And then in Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 and 6, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the very form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. Before Jesus was what? In the form of God. In other words, he was like God. If we are in the form of a human being, we might be different, right? We are different. Even though I read that 9% of humanity, if you wanted throughout all humanity, you could find 9% of the people that look exactly like you. Now, I don't know if that's Facebook probably saying that kind of thing. And you might run across your person, but it's only, I guess it was only 9% of a chance is what it was that you could actually do that. I don't know if that's good or scary or not. I don't know what that might be. But Jesus came, he was in the form of God, and he gave up being equal with God to take on the form of a human being. And he came to do that and live on this earth and die on the cross to be raised to walk again and to sit at the right hand of God. And when everybody, judgment day comes, every knee will bow before him, before Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. Okay, I have to brag a little bit. My granddaughter, and I don't approve particularly of the Christian school that she's going to, but she memorized this verse, verses 1 and 2. And we were sitting there. There was another boy there from another school that was going to another Christian school in another state, actually, that was sitting at the table, and he quoted a passage of Scripture. And so Janessa said to my granddaughter, Juliana, said, why don't you tell him what you memorized? And she quoted this passage, not in this translation, but I was like, wow. Because this is in a pretty amazing passage too, kind of like John chapter 1. It's a really good reference and comparison to this. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets. Let's stop right there for a minute. Who spoke to the prophets in the old times? What did the Bible? The Bible. God spoke to them, right? Who spoke to him? Has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom he has made the worlds. What part did God, remember what part Jesus played in the beginning? He was the Word of God. In Genesis chapter 1, he was the spoken Word of God that created everything into existence. And that's what it says here again. He was appointed heir, he inherited, he was the master of this all, through whom also he made the worlds. And we're going to see more as we go along, all the authority and power that God has given to Jesus Christ. Verse 3, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Other translations say where it says express image of his person, it says the exact representation of him. Exact representation. The express image of him. So we're talking about that he's just like God. You look just like him. Not in physical form when Jesus came. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about that he was with God. He was God, right? And after he had purged ourselves from our sins, which means he died on the cross for us, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, sat down at the right hand of God. One little boy said, I know why God is a left-handed God. And they said, why? Because Jesus is sitting on his right hand. Thank you, Stacy. I appreciate someone laughing at my jokes. But we understand that Jesus Christ is always there, right? He is the power of God. He intercedes on our behalf. He's at the right hand of God for us. Well, the plan of God then, through Jesus Christ, we find expressed to us in Ephesians chapter 1, starting in verse 3. Verses 3 and 4. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. How? In Christ. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Now notice, I want you to notice two words that I didn't highlight here, but it's chose us how? In him. Understand that God chose us in him before the foundations of the world. That means before foundation, before creation even started, God knew. Now we use the word, and we're going to find it here in our text also, the word predestined. The word predestined literally means pre-planned. So God, before the foundation of the earth, knew that man and woman would sin. He knew that. And yet, so what did God do? Before the foundations, before it all started, he planned that Jesus would come here for us and to cleanse us so we could be holy and blameless before him. He chose us. Now we might say, there's some people today that say, look at how great we are because God chose us and we're the chosen of God. No, that's not what it means. God chose everyone. But not everyone chooses God. Not everyone chooses God. That we should be holy, that's what God wants us to be, holy and blameless, right, with him. How is God? What is God like? Is God holy and blameless? God wants us to be like him. And how did he do that? How can we as sinful people do that? Because Jesus Christ came and took away our sins so that we could be like him in love. Verses 5 and 6. Being predestined, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. You realize what he's talking about here? We have been adopted as sons. In Romans chapter 8, it tells us that we have been adopted, that we are heirs and co-heirs with Christ. Jesus did it for who? He adopted to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Whose will was it that he would do this? His. But was that also God's will? Yes. They did this, they planned this together so that Jesus Christ could carry out this purpose for us, so that by his grace he made us accepted in the beloved. We have been accepted by God. We look at ourselves and we see, I am at fault, I have problems, I have sins. But God looks at us through Jesus Christ and through the blood of the cross. He looks at us and says, no, you're my accepted, adopted children. And he doesn't just call us children, but he makes us co-heirs with Christ. Amazing. Amazing what God has done for us through Jesus Christ. This is his purpose. This is God's plan for us. Verse 7 and 8. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to what? The riches of his grace, which he made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence. again in Him. It comes through Christ. It's because of Him, Jesus Christ, we have redemption. How? Through His blood. In other words, that's what I was talking about just a moment ago, that He sees us through the blood of Christ. We have the forgiveness of sins. Again, it's according to His riches, of His glory. He did it for us, but it's to God's glory that this would be done, so that God's plan can be fulfilled through Jesus Christ, through us. Verses 9 and 10. Having made known to us the mystery of His will. There's that will that we're talking about. According to His good pleasure, which He purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, in Him. So it all comes back and centers in Jesus Christ. All of it. The mystery of His will is no longer a mystery for us today, because it's been revealed to us. It's according to His good pleasure, which He purposed, I love this, in Himself. Jesus purposed it in Himself. He said, yes, Father, I will go to the earth. He gave up equality with God as something not to be grasped, and He came to this earth for us. I will go. He came here, even when in those days, that night in the garden, God, if it's Your will, let this cup pass from me. Because His flesh was saying, I don't want to have to suffer this, but I will, if that's what You really want, God. It's like He was confirming God's plan together with Himself in the garden. Yes, I know this is our plan. Yes, I know. I will carry it out because this is our will, Your will, dear God. And it says in the dispensation of the fullness of times. In other words, at the right time, Jesus Christ came and died on the cross for us, that He might gather together in all things in Christ. He gathers us together in Him, in which are in heaven, which are on earth, and it all comes back to in Him. Now hold that as we go on down to the next verse. In Him, again, we also have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of Him who works all things according to the counsel of His will, that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of His glory. We have obtained that inheritance. We have inherited the plan of God of salvation for us. It has been made for us, it is designed for us, and He fulfills it in Him. And according to the purpose of His will. Why? To work out the counsel of His will. You see, we have a part in fulfilling God's plan. We have a part in fulfilling His will by coming to Him, by being obedient to Him. So as we first trusted in Christ, those who first trusted in Him should be the praise of His glory. Again, God does this for us, but He does it also to bring glory and praise to Himself. Not that God needs that, but God deserves that. God has the right to that for us because of all that He has done for us. Then in 13 and 14, again, in Him you also trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of His glory. See, we have a part. In Him we trusted, right? In Him we committed our lives. In Him we accepted His choosing in us. We chose Him. The gospel of our salvation comes through Him, whom we have believed, and we have been sealed in the Holy Spirit, right? When did you receive that Holy Spirit? When you're baptized into Christ. When we're baptized into Christ, we have the Holy Spirit that God has given to us, and that is our guarantee. That's our guarantee, assurance that God is not going to leave us because He's put His Spirit within us. That doesn't mean we can't fall. We all know that we can fall from grace. We know that we can leave Him and turn our back on Him. We can put out the Spirit's flame, the Bible says. But when we walk with Him, living in Him, we have been redeemed for the purchased possession. He has bought us back out of sin to the praise of His glory. Our inheritance, therefore, is through the plan of God. Continuing in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 18. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. We can understand because we have been enlightened to know that there is hope, that we may know the hope of his calling, that we may know the assurance of his calling. This is the riches of God's glory in us. It's great riches, great wonder that we can have this so that we can know for sure that we can go to heaven and be with God. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe according to the working of his mighty power? His exceeding greatness. I mean, if God can, and Jesus can, in 6 days create all the universe, right? In 6 days. If they can do that, and Jesus Christ can come here and heal all kinds of people, feed 5,000, feed 4,000 plus, as we think about that, and to die and to be raised again, can Jesus save us? He can without any hesitation, without doubt, because of his great power, according to the working of his mighty power. He can do that for us. That's what God does for us today. Verses 20 and 21, which he worked when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, every name that is named, not only in this age, but also that is to come. God has worked out his salvation through us. And he's done it far, his right hand in the heavenly places, far, verse 21, far above all principality and power and dominion and every name that is named. So Jesus has a name that is above everyone, right? That is above everything. All authority has been given to him in heaven and on earth. It says in Matthew 28 and verse 19, verse 18, excuse me. And not only in this age to come, but for now and forevermore. And then verse 22 and 23. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Everything is put under his authority, and especially his church, which he died for. Put all things, the head over all things to the church. We do not have a pope. We do not have a council. We do not have a church meeting to do this. Jesus Christ is the head over all things to his church, which is his body. The church is his body. And the fullness, the completeness of him who fills all in all. This is the completeness. We are a part of the completeness of what God has done for us. Jesus was with and was God from the beginning, all the time. When Jesus came to this earth, he was God in the flesh. He lived on this earth. Yes, he prayed to the Father because he was away from the Father. He prayed for him. He communicated with him, sometimes all night, right? But he did this, and he was God in the flesh. He was God in the Spirit from the beginning. He was God in the flesh. Jesus and God, therefore, wants all people everywhere to be saved. That includes you and me and everyone that we might know and everyone that we don't know. Driving down the road yesterday, and you see cars going past you, coming towards you, and you'll see, maybe you might glance their faces, but you think, I'll never see that person again. What about their souls? Well, we have to start with us. We have to start at home and then go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. The plan, Jesus, is for Jesus to die on the cross for us. That's the plan, to be died, to be raised again, to sit at the right hand of God, and at the right day to come again. Jesus' coming was the plan and purpose of God to offer salvation to all. To everyone, salvation has been offered, to give him hope and salvation. And again, that's for you, it's for me, and for everyone on this earth. The question is, will you accept that plan and make it a part of your heart, a part of your life, a part of the way we work? Won't you come to him now as together we stand and sing?
Jesus is calling, calling, calling. Jesus is calling today. Why should I linger, linger, linger? I will arise and away. They are so happy, happy, happy. Who do their Savior obey? Why should I linger, linger, linger? I will arise and away. Jesus is pleading, pleading, pleading.
leading. Why should I wander in sin? While to his glory, 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 glad he would welcome me in. They are so happy, happy. Why should I linger, linger, linger? I will arise and away. Jesus is waiting, waiting, waiting. Open now standeth the door. Soon the night falleth, falleth, falleth. Closed are the gates evermore. They are so happy, 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 who do their Savior obey. Why should I linger, linger, linger? I will arise and away.
Is there anyone here this evening that did not have opportunity already today to partake of the Lord's Supper? In a moment, we will be dismissed in prayer. We want to keep in mind those that are on our prayer list. We want to keep encouraging all of our members who are shut in. We want to remember the Collins family with the situation with our sister Kay, and just encourage them in every way that you're able to. That cannot be overdone. Certainly pray for her wellness her ease of passing, as Jamie did in his earlier prayer. She has requested that of us. And anything further that we need to make known, of course, we mentioned it this morning that next Sunday is our fellowship meal. Please plan to be here. Please plan to be hungry and have something that you can do about that. Is there anything further before we go to God in prayer?
Let us all pray together. Our Father in heaven, as we come to you now, we ask you to be with Kay Collins and her family and her brother. They have a lot on their plate right now to take care of their loved ones. We know, Father, that this isn't easy. Many times it is a hardship on the family. So let's pray that you can encourage them and help them and get them through this trying time. Father, we have so much to be thankful for. And we at this time would like to thank you for your son that you have sent here to be an example. We're thankful that you take the time to listen to our prayers, and you also take the time to help us in our time of need as we pray to you and ask you for your guidance and your help. We know, Father, that we have so many things that we are weak at. We have trying times ourselves. And at this time, as we hit those lows or stumbling block is in our way, that you will help remove those and help uplift us as we continue to strive to do your will. We know, Father, that you can do all things through your son, and he has been an inspiration to all of us. That's why we're here. And we want to pray that he continues to do so through his word that is written in the scriptures, that we can glean information from to help us and make us better than we were the day before. We also pray, Father, for all the military. It's all over the world that's in harm's way especially, but they need to our prayers also to bring them back to their loved ones and keep them in the faith as they're traveling just in all types of unsavory places. We know, Father, that you can keep an eye on them and watch over them. And as we're about to leave this evening, Father, we pray that you'll go with us and help us and guide us until we meet again. That's our prayer in Christ's name. Amen.